It's 5 o'clock on Friday afternoon. My name's Jacob.
Well, I must be Mercedes then. And we're on Community Radio 3CR with Friday Rave.
And welcome back this week to a Friday Rave. You're tuned to Community Radio 3CR, another good show from James at In Your Face. And of course, you're tuned to 855 AM. On 3CR Radical Radio.
Yeah, and what another week. It's another week we're actually recording. This is a pre-record you're listening to. So it's Friday. Oh, it's Friday lunchtime.
Friday lunchtime indeed. From the Friday Rave HQ, not at the station this week. And
right.
another big week. Indeed.
All right, and I'm going to start it with something I've just going to set you off track because we haven't discussed this at all until right this minute.
All right.
Pete Hegseth.
Oh.
Just a quote. He was doing a prayer session in the Pentagon on Wednesday. So that's yesterday.
Sorry, even the starting sentence. The Secretary of War was doing a prayer session in the Pentagon.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Now, we're talking about, the whole thing about the West taking Iran, like they took Iraq, like they spoke about Hezbollah, like they speak about Hamas, is about fundamentalist Islamic people wanting to cause war. We hear how it's, the mainstream keeps telling us and the Americans keep telling us how it's in the DNA of Islam to promote war. Well, let me just talk about Pete Hegseth and his Christianity. And I'm not going to say much other than a quote. Let every round find its mark against the enemies of righteousness and our great nation. Give them wisdom in every decision, endurance for the trial ahead, unbreakable unity and overwhelming violence of action against those who deserve no mercy.
Sounds very unchristian.
I wish people could see the look in Mercedes' eyes then. It's but this is the people whose side we're on, all right? This is not the Ayatollahs. This is not Hamas. This is the people whose side we are on.
Allegedly.
So everything we say and everything you hear about the war on Iran, bear that in mind. Let every round find its mark against the enemies of righteousness. Give them wisdom in every decision. Endurance for the trial ahead, unbreakable unity, and overwhelming violence of action against those who deserve no mercy.
Oh, I
welcome to a Friday rave here on Community Radio 3CR.
Another upbeat show for you, apparently. far out.
But on that,
I mean, like, this is the iteration, I guess, of what we can see is this evangelical Christianity, this outside of yourself as Trump, as we spoke about a couple of weeks ago, of, Trump is this, like, holy, righteous figure leading, like, he's a god,
And ordained by Jesus Christ to set the spark to light Armageddon. And this is absolutely batshit crazy stuff.
Yep. Clerico-fascism.
Yeah,
At its finest. Now, what are we going to talk about this week? There's a couple of things, and we're going to jump a bit all over the place,
Not like us.
No, I know. Not at all. I was going to mention something about this on the show last week, but it was last week it was reported that Netanyahu has requested to meet with Volodymyr Zelensky to talk about counter-drone capability. Now, that meeting hasn't happened yet, but in response to Netanyahu's request to meet Zelensky, Zelensky told the Jerusalem Post, and this is a quote, another quote for you, "Netanyahu has what I need and I have what he needs, so I'm ready for this dialogue."
You look sweet upon the seat of a bicycle built for two.
So basically here, like, to me, this looks like is that we've got the leader of poor old battled Ukraine fighting an occupier, mm-hmm. which is Russia, signaling talks and weapons exchange with the leader of the most well-documented, genocidal, maniacal, occupying state in the world today.
Yeah.
Cool and normal stuff. So Zelensky arrived in Saudi Arabia yesterday to discuss the technology exchange of counter-drone capabilities with the Gulf states in light of the US and Israel's attacks on Iran and the subsequent self-defense carried out by Iran on the Gulf states. Now, which there's a postponement, which, well, Trump signaled a postponement on attacking critical infrastructure in Iran, which is due to expire tomorrow.
Right.
So we'll see what happens over the weekend. Ugh, I hate to think of it. But if you're a regular listener to A Friday Rave, you would have heard about Brave One.
Brave One.
Yep. So it's basically a one-stop shop for defence capabilities that is developed in Ukraine in partnership with the Ukrainian Department of Defence. And it's aimed at delivering weapons directly to the battalions from the companies themselves based on a gamified point system. You can go back and listen to the episode where we go into this in a little bit more detail. But it basically works like an Amazon for weapons, where a battalion accrues points according to how many soldiers it has killed, how many drones or vehicles it has taken out, and so on.
And there's a set rate. If you take out a soldier, you get 10 points. If you take out a tank, you get 50, that kind of thing.
Exactly. So they can buy weapons directly from the marketplace and have get them straight to the battlefield, essentially. Yeah. And so it was celebrated as a way to streamline weapons delivery and cutting out the middleman, here being the Ukrainian Department of Defense, and for bolstering technology advancement. And I guess it, you know, when we read a lot of articles about how the Ukraine war is changing and shifting the landscape of modern warfare, this is a really big one in what that means.
It's the gamification of war.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, we're going to talk about AI a little bit later, but, you know, that just kind of intensifies it a little bit more. So the way that Brave One works is providing grant funding to companies who submit proposals according to the priority list of what's needed.
Mm.
And so far, Brave One has awarded around 700 grants in weapons development. That's including counter UAVs, which is unmanned aerial vehicles, yep. UAVs themselves, drone swarms, AI capability, missiles, and more. And Brave One has partnered with the EU in grant funding in the past, and it has launched its most recent partnership with NATO called Unite Brave NATO, which was launched just this week with $17 million in Australian dollars of grant funding available to priority areas for the technologies I mentioned earlier.
Mm. Now, but of course, Ukraine's not going to join NATO, but we're going to have a brave NATO.
A brave NATO. So now back to Zelensky.
As opposed to the chicken liver that bloody Trump's been calling them.
I know, they don't help at all. But we don't need their help. I'm going to digress for a little bit because just looking at, and I guess we're not going to talk about it much in the show of the bullshit that's been coming out of Trump's mouth over the last couple of weeks, but it's really the epitomization of Steve Bannon's flood it with shit kind of thing, isn't
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely.
It's just like, it's an all out, like an F-35 got hit, you know, they've lost a whole bunch of weapons and stuff like that. But the US, Trump announced the other day that there was a fighter jet that got hit by 3 Patriot missiles, but it was like he kind of painted it as miraculously, you know, it was a success because the soldiers were unharmed.
Managed to eject.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, so isn't that amazing? The pilots weren't hurt even though we shot down our own plane with
Patriot Yeah, but missiles. It's also, what a success. See how great the Patriot missiles are? They could even shoot down an F-35.
Yeah, oh, it's just ridiculous.
It's crazy, but I want to get back
back to Zelensky in Saudi Arabia. Is that what you want to get back to for a second?
Well, I wanted to get onto the Brave One to start with. It's designed so that the battalions, the soldiers and their commanders on the ground can decide what weapons they need. Now, when you decide what weapons you need based on your objective. So given the battalions the ability to choose which weapons they need is also giving them the ability to decide their objectives. All right. Mm-hmm. Now, then when you look at the Ukrainian military, and, you know, when the Ukrainian war first started, I spoke on a Friday rave about the Azov Battalion and being just fascists. And then now I think I pointed out that their commander said, we're not fascists. Less than half of our members are card-carrying members of the National Socialist Party. But now they've been incorporated into the Ukrainian military as the Special Operation Detachment Azov, known as the Azov Regiment, not the Azov Battalion. But these are the people, these are the fascists, who are going to be deciding which weapons they buy. Now, when you talk about the gamification of weapons, these are the same people who are part of the... These are like your fascist young men who are the neckbeards in other parts of the world sitting in their mum's basement, is the cliche, yep, who are used to this gaming sort of lifestyle. This is everything about the manosphere, let's call it, rolled into the war. This is more than just giving them the ability to choose weapons. This is about putting the prosecution of the war into the hands of these young fascist fucks.
Mm. And I guess that's a mask off, because we know that those at the helm of war are fascistic. They're invading, willy-nilly, attacking, bombing, genociding people all over. So, just quickly, back in Zelensky in Saudi Arabia, this is kind of the Ukrainian defense tech companies have been tapped on the shoulder by the Gulf states for their technology already. And so I guess Zelensky visiting will be kind of that stamp of approval to facilitate the direct trade in weapons tech.
Yep.
And, of course, Zelensky has already signaled that he's willing to meet with Netanyahu. So I guess maybe he'll be following through on his intentions while he's in Saudi Arabia.
Well, they have got a, as you know, you pointed out the big difference being Ukraine claims to be a victim of occupation, whereas Israel and Netanyahu are prosecuting the biggest genocide that's taken place in modern times. But nonetheless, a few weeks ago, Zelensky made the great comment that, not just talking about what he's got in common with Israel, but their enemies. He said that Moscow and Tehran are brothers in hatred and control, and that Iran's drones contain Russian component parts, which is why they've sent more than 200 Ukrainian military experts to the Gulf.
And it's really specified in Brave One's website that their counter-drone technology, they specify the Shahad drone.
Yeah, exactly.
As one of their targets. But also, Brave One has announced, and I'm just going to mention this in a sentence because I think we need to look at it a little bit more, but Brave One has announced that has launched a data center, a data house.
Right.
The correct phrasing of escapes me now, but it is for AI capability on the battlefield by integrating battlefield information and experience, battle tests, I guess.
Yep.
And the company that it's partnered with for that data center and AI learning models is Palantir.
Palantir?
Yep.
God, they're cropping up every time you turn around.
They are indeed.
Every time you turn around, there's another Palantir.
There is another Palantir. And, of course, Palantir has just become a program of record at the Pentagon. So it's not just that it's now Palantir is going to be embedded, run through the Pentagon and contracted to every part of the US military. So it's not a program of record means that it's not just a emerging tech that is being tested. It's now being pushed to be integrated into every single part and branch of the US military as an operational system.
Wow, and Palantir is, of course, an AI company and a database and what's the word? Analyzing company. They analyze all the... You see, it's easy these days. Here's the thing, folks. Collecting information has never been easier.
Mm.
the problem is analysing what it all means. And that is what Palantir is able to do.
Mm.
It analyses all this information that's being gathered from everywhere. Like, just like, as I've said a few weeks ago, I was offered the opportunity to join Palantir's project at the Coburg Hill Woolworths supermarket.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Coles, rather.
Coles, is it?
Yeah.
Whichever one it is, they're the same to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I guess, you know, we've spoken about Palantir a lot on the show, but now it's going to be operational within every platform of the US military, which, of course, when we talk about AUKUS, I guess coupling this with Palantir having IRAP protected status that it got approved for in December last year in Australia,
yep,
means that interoperability and increasingly interchangeability of Australian and US military platforms means that maybe, just maybe, Australian military it already uses Palantir's Foundry tech,
yep,
but it will be necessitated to be embedded into all Australian military platforms for increased interoperability under AUKUS.
Well, the Pentagon is integrated into all Australian platforms under AUKUS. So therefore, Palantir are too.
Palantir are too. And just on AI for a little bit, now, with so much of the defence industry being bolstered and propped up by governments to push the manufacturing industry under the guise of national security, like the manufacturing industry, et cetera, AI, I reckon, can be viewed in much the same way, in that, like, the commercial take-up of AI in workplaces and commercial industries have been relatively low for how much talk there is about AI.
Absolutely.
There's breakdowns that show that executives have pushed for shifting in autonomous systems. The middle management is a lower take-up than what is expected by the executives, and a lot of that is to appease the executive class. And there's been a really relatively low take up in the use amongst the workers themselves.
Yep.
So it's a bubble. AI is a bubble.
Yeah.
But it's pioneered by the world's richest men like Elon Musk, Peter Thiel, Bezos, and the like. You know, companies like Palantir,
yep,
XAI, Amazon, ChatGPT, DeepSeek, Anthropic, yada yada yada.
They go on.
So, over the year of 2024 and 25, tech moguls increased their collective personal wealth by $600 billion, and welcomed an additional 46 billionaires into their oligarchical ranks. So we spoke on the show last week about how the West is a war economy, and I really see AI as being propped up by the defense and war industry, like, to continue to rub the shoulders of the billionaire elite, the political and big capital, governments, and particularly the US and increasingly Australia, which will just follow suit,
yep,
funding AI and autonomous weapon systems is the only way that this bubble is staying afloat.
Yeah.
But that's directly for the tech moguls who are the billionaires of the world. So knowing that the political class will follow the handlers of the elite, albeit, you know, there is an increasing crossover, as we spoke with Clinton in our Saturday Kick-On episode. The tech companies are developing more and more their AI tools specifically for defence and war, just like that's Palantir's MO from the beginning,
yep,
and for government contracts. But knowing that the political class will go hand over fist just to give them those contracts, and that the tech and AI would essentially collapse without a war economy.
Well, the whole economy, our whole Western consumer capitalist economy will collapse without a war. This is the whole point.
Mm-hmm.
As we said last week, this is not about we have this society and a part of what we're doing is a war in Iran and a war on Palestine and invasions of various small countries that don't even rate a mention in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
This is this is what our society is based on. And it has been for some time, right? It's been the only way we've had this standard of living in Australia is through the exploitation and pillage of resources overseas.
Mm. And here.
And here.
Yeah.
And here. And that is now, you know, just being more and more and more obvious. And I think we need to stop talking about, well, this is going to sound weird coming from me. We need to stop talking about war as if it was something different to the rest of society, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Mm, yeah. But I mean, in light of some good news, the Australian government has gone all socialist now. They're saying that we need a ration fuel and everyone needs to get their fair share of fuel. So make sure to look after your fellow Aussie and not take too much.
Not take more than your fair share of fuel.
Yeah.
And while you're at it, maybe not take more than your fair share of housing.
Exactly. Or wealth or...
or health requirements.
Yep. Anything. So, you know, maybe this is a step forward for the Albanese government to becoming a little bit more socialist and back to, you know, those public housing routes that he always talks about.
Ironically, though, fuel and petrol is the thing that, look, this is probably more than a Friday rave. This is one of next year's one-hour specials. but really, we should be paying more for fuel. Because it is so disruptive, and because nothing will alternatives to fossil fuel use, with all their damage, are not going to come to the fore until such time as they're too expensive. We need to put, in some ways, the argument is put Dracula in charge of the blood bank. We need to make fossil fuel so expensive. But I don't even know. I need to get my head around this because it's only expensive for people, for the oligarchs, for the rich, for the 1%. They're actually making money.
Even
if they're not making money, we've got to a point now where it's not even about it, – it's always about gathering more and more into fewer and fewer, but it's about just moving the money. Excuse me.
Yeah.
It's about just moving the money from one billionaire to another.
Yes, exactly.
And people just get in the way. There is this I just want to touch on another Australian startup, a mob called Breaker, who have just raised another $9 million in seed funding from Bessemer Venture Partners in the US, who are major suppliers of defence tech and AI technology seed funders. They're not quite as big as Peter Thiel's Founders Fund, but they're up there. And they've developed what they're calling their Breaker AI systems, which they say would, what do they call themselves? AI agent software, a platform agnostic software which allows military operators to coordinate teams of autonomous systems across air, land and sea with their voice. And they refer, the owner of this, co-founder of this rather, bloke by the name of Matthew Buffer, refers to the operator bottleneck being one of the ADF's, the Australian Defence Force's, most expensive capability gaps. He's talking about a soldier. He's talking about people being an operator bottleneck. We don't need soldiers.
Just get in the way.
They just get in the way.
We need to get rid of the bottlenecks.
You know, let the AI do it for you, whether it's drive a truck or flying a helicopter. He says in this drone warfare era, the next frontier is orchestration, how to manage and coordinate robotic teams at speed, scale and under pressure.
And when you think about it, you know, it's like operator bottlenecks, and you're like, oh, the soldier is the operational bottleneck. It's not like, oh, poor soldier. It's like, hang on, we're getting to the point now where the ideas or the images of what modern warfare is actually removing that altogether and having it totally automated. And we've seen this totally automated tech being used through Lavender AI and Where's Daddy in Palestine by Israel.
Yes.
And this is what they're pushing for. And this is an Australian startup who is making it more agnostic and palatable, attempting to, not to us.
Palatable rather than palantirable.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, now, I don't know how we've got time left because...
We've got a few minutes left, but I just want to have a quick rant.
Go for it.
Back to, we'll be staying here, and Land 400 Phase 2 And I'll just touch quickly on this, and I think this relates to, you know, how we were talking about, it's really essentially just moving money around.
Absolutely.
But the Boxer CRV, so which is a combat reconnaissance vehicle. Mm-hmm. So back in March 2018, which was under Turnbull.
Almost petty days before COVID.
So Rheinmetall Defence, which is Germany's...
German.
Yeah, one of Germany's largest weapons manufacturer.
And the people who basically built most of the concentration camp.
Exactly.
Infrastructure.
Got approved for $5.2 billion for an approved budget to build these Block 2 Boxer combat reconnaissance vehicles for a project which was approved to replace the previous vehicles back in 2014. So that was 12 years ago. There was first approval to say we need to replace these vehicles. March 2018, 8 years ago, it was like, okay, Rheinmetall Defence is being given $5.2 billion to develop these Boxer CRVs in Australia.
Yes.
So the total...
Australia being the operative term.
Exactly. And so the total approved budget is blown out to $5,775,000,000. And it was just today that the first 7 Australian-made Boxer CRVs rolled off the production line in Queensland. So 8 years after the initial announcement that the contract for 211 Boxer CRVs, just today, the first 7 Australian-made ones. Now, there's 25 that have been imported from Germany.
Right.
Of that 211, yeah. And plus another 7 that they've just done today. But as of June 25 last year, the total expenditure of the whole program was at $3,141,400,000, which leaves a remaining $2,634,200,000 for the remaining, what's 211 minus 20 minus 7?
Right, 180-something.
Yeah, so yeah. So a whole program is $5.2 billion. There's 27 vehicles. There's 180-something remaining to come. The numbers don't add up. It doesn't make sense. And
obviously, the startup is going to cost more than the last one that rolls off the production line, but still.
Exactly, but still, you know, the numbers don't make sense. And this is not saying, oh, we need a more streamlined, better defence capability, but I think it's just like, I just want to highlight how ridiculous this is, that there's all of this money being put into this project saying, oh, it's going to create Australian jobs, we're going to have, you know, a sovereign defence capability, we're going to build everything here, we're bolstering the manufacturing industry, yada, 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 yeah. And there's 7 big trucks. And of course, this is the same project that Albert Systems got the can for because they had a backdoor for the battle management system.
Yeah, and we're going to have, and the whole thing about this thing is we've got these, the whole of Australian defence policy is based on the idea that China might attack.
Mm.
So what are we going to do? We're going to get these 7, even if we get 200 of these things, we're going to line them up.
There won't be petrol to run them.
Along the Tropic of Capricorn to in some kind of Brisbane line.
It's just about moving money around.
Well, not only that, I mean, are they as all-terrain as they are? The Stuart Highway is the Northern Highway to dump between Alice and Darwin is cut. It's underwater.
Mm.
So maybe this will be a good time to get those nuclear-powered submarines online.
Oh, and they can do that.
We could operate the nuclear power submarines in the Northern Territory.
Well, just like the Boxer CRVs, they're never going to come either. That's enough for this week from us. We'll be back next week. Stay tuned for Radio MMT, and you are tuned to Community Radio 3CR, of course. We'll catch you more next week.
Ciao for now.